This is the Aspen Public Radio Newscast. I'm your host, Megan Tackett, here with your top stories this Tuesday. The Aspen School District's Teachers Union declared an impasse in negotiations with the district late last week. Aspen Daily News reporter Lucy Peterson has more.
The Aspen Education Association could not agree with the district on a salary increase for teachers. The union wants a 12% base increase, and the district countered with 8.5%. Union leaders argue the ballot measures voters approved in November should largely be used for staff raises, because that's what the district mostly campaigned on. The district plans to use a majority of the new tax revenue for salary increases, but the union also wants the district to use money from the voter-approved mill levy override to bolster those raises. District leaders say a majority of those funds need to go toward building back the district's reserve balance, which decreased 75% over 5 years. They want to make sure the district doesn't spend too much money too soon. The union declared the impasse with the district on Friday, the first in recent history. The union renegotiates salaries every year. Lucy Peterson, Aspen Public Radio News.
The developers behind the controversial Harvest Roaring Fork development have withdrawn their application to build a 1,500-unit development near Cattle Creek. The Post-Independent reports that developers told the county they plan to revise the proposal and bring it back to Garfield County planners and commissioners. The developers say it's a long-term answer to the valley's housing shortage. Opponents say the project is too large for the area and would strain resources, including utilities, surrounding land, and Highway 82. Grant requests to the Aspen Grants Program this year are 180% more than what the Aspen City Council has budgeted for the program. The Aspen Times reports that local nonprofits submitted grant requests for just over $3.85 million. City Council budgeted $2.15 million. Grant funding decisions are recommended by Aspen's Grant Steering Committee to the Council, which approves the financial decisions. City staff wrote in a report that organizations say they're increasingly reliant on local funding because of the rollback of federal funding in the past year. In arts and culture news, Aspen has a new art gallery in town. Aspen Public Radio's Reagan Mertz reports its museum-like interior displays artifacts that are thousands of years old and masterworks from artistic icons typically found in larger cities.
Walk by MS Brow and you'll see million-dollar paintings by Rembrandt, Picasso, and Salvador Dali. Even a meteorite from 4000 BC. Pearl earrings from the French crown jewels and a silver coffee pot made by Paul Revere were also on display. The gallery's president, Andrew Fields, is a longtime Aspen resident. He spoke at a ribbon cutting last week about how this new location could contribute to the local art scene.
This is our first permanent location outside of our home of New Orleans, where we've been for 114 years. Our roots are in New Orleans, a city rich in history and culture and storytelling. And what we plan to do here is bring that spirit with us while also embracing everything that makes Aspen so unique.
The New Orleans Gallery is over 40,000 square feet and 4 stories tall, but Aspen's is in a quaint Victorian building on Galena Street. While Aspen has many art galleries, MS Rao has brought items of legendary cultural significance to the local cobblestone streets. For Aspen Public Radio, I'm Reagan Mertz.
Gallery staff said a new shipment of art and artifacts is currently en route to the Roaring Fork Valley. In statewide news, the Colorado House passed the state budget on Saturday after a day and a half of delays. The proposal addresses a $1.5 billion shortfall. Ray Solomon reports for the Colorado Capital News Alliance.
Along with the budget, lawmakers considered more than 60 companion proposals and dozens of amendments floated by both sides of the aisle, though only a few of those changes got the green light. The House approved a bipartisan amendment to save the state's auto theft prevention program, as well as one stripping money from wolf reintroduction. The House also agreed to protect medical coverage for some undocumented immigrants, but all that could be stripped from the bill as it advances. Final passage came a little after 2:30 on Saturday afternoon, and this week, the entire debate process starts over in the Senate.
That was Ray Solomon for the Colorado Capital News Alliance. The FBI is putting extra agents in the field in Denver to address a backlog of cold cases on tribal lands. For the Mountain West News Bureau, Gabriel Peterazio has more.
Under Operation Not Forgotten, more law enforcement personnel will be filtering through nearly a dozen field offices with close ties to Indian Country. Agents are being sent to cities like Phoenix, Las Vegas, Billings, Albuquerque, and Denver.
A lot of our state is tribal territory. Right now, we're set for 14 agents.
Kevin Smith is with the FBI Phoenix Field Office. The FBI is handling 4,100 active indigenous criminal cases nationwide. Smith says Arizona's share is in the hundreds, including three high-profile ones for Chalestia Tia Coloway, Malika Molly Boone, and Emily Pike.
Every case is unique, and every case takes the time that it takes.
For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Gabriel Pietrazio.
Hospitals are not prepared for more measles outbreaks. That's according to CU Denver sociologist Jennifer Reich. She studies vaccine hesitancy.
Because measles is considered one of the most contagious diseases ever recorded, one infected person is expected to be able to infect 12 to 18 other people. The virus can stay in the air for over 2 hours after the infected person has left the room.
Reich says the country's vaccination rate has fallen below the threshold needed for herd immunity. Colorado is on track to surpass last year's number of total measles cases. And in regional news, much of the water used by data centers is not being reported publicly. That raises transparency concerns across our drought-prone region, a hotspot for the industry. The Mountain West News Bureau's Caleb Radel has more.
Data centers power everything from streaming to artificial intelligence, and they rely on water to keep computer servers from overheating. But researchers say a fast-growing problem is how little is known about their total water use.
If we don't have the data, if we don't have the transparency, we're just walking in the dark.
That's Anna Pinyeu-Pervet, co-author of a new study out of the University of Illinois on data center water use. She says the gap includes both direct water use at facilities and indirect use tied to electricity generation, creating challenges for policymakers and utilities planning for future growth.
We cannot write policy if we don't have data.
National estimates suggest data centers used about 17 billion gallons of water in 2023, and demand is expected to rise as AI and cloud computing expand. She says better transparency could help the West weigh trade-offs as demand for data and water continue to grow. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Caleb Radel.
Ski resorts that operate on public lands may soon have more flexibility to adapt to a changing climate under a new federal rule. The Mountain West News Bureau's Rachel Cohen reports.
More than 120 ski areas operate on U.S. Forest Service land. To get their permits, they have to be primarily focused on winter sports. For more than a decade, that's been measured by revenue. How much money comes from skiing. But the Forest Service is now scrapping that test, saying it'll look at a broader set of factors. Marie Feldman is a lawyer in Boise, Idaho, who works with companies to get permits on public lands. He says the change could give resorts more flexibility for years with less snowfall.
You could now conceivably have an area where the non-ski use generates greater revenue.
The agency doesn't mention climate change in the rule, but it says many ski areas are increasingly relying on revenue from things like mountain biking and ziplining because of fluctuations in seasonal snow conditions. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Rachel Cohen.
As immigration enforcement increases across the region, some advocacy groups are working to track and verify activity on the ground. The Colorado Rapid Response Network operates a hotline where residents can report possible ICE presence in their communities. Now, a similar effort is taking shape in Wyoming. As KHOL Sophia Boyd-Fliegel reports for Rocky Mountain Community Radio, the Wyoming Immigrant Advocacy Project recently launched a coalition of volunteers to verify reports of immigration enforcement on the streets around Jackson Hole.
The area has many vehicles from several federal agencies that manage surrounding public land. So knowing who's who can get confusing and spread fear, according to the nonprofit's executive director, Emily Gomez. Volunteers with the ICE Watch hotline will dispatch with blue vests to the scene of a reported sighting.
These are all trained volunteers to the scene to report on what they see, confirm whether it is immigration enforcement agency, or dispel.
ICE appeared twice last year around Jackson Hole in uniforms and plain clothes. Officers reportedly came in large SUVs with tinted windows and federal plates, or no plates. Gomez says after verifying sightings, volunteers will share on social media and public WhatsApp groups.
And if it is ICE, they're there simply to observe what is happening and be able to report the facts.
She says volunteers aren't trying to get in the way of law enforcement, but remind people what rights they do have. For KHOL News, I'm Sophia Boyd-Fliegel.
The Aspen Public Radio newscast is produced by our team. News Director Hallie Zander, reporters Reagan Mertz, Sarah Torrey, Michael Finelli, Sage Smiley, and me, your host, Megan Tackett. Our contributing reporters include Eleanor Bennett and Lucy Peterson. You can listen to the show every weekday morning on our website or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.